Tonight, several breaking stories as we come on the air. Authorities moments ago, what they revealed about the gunman who opened fire inside an LGBTQ nightclub in Colorado Springs. What he was accused of doing before. Also, the deadly crash into an Apple store and digging out in Buffalo nearly 7 feet. And now the new outlook tonight as millions travel for Thanksgiving. First tonight, authorities moments ago in Colorado Springs, the 22-year-old suspect armed with an AR-style rifle when he entered the club and opened fire. At least 5 people killed, 19 wounded. The suspect now expected to be formally charged with murder and hate crimes charges. Authorities tonight pointing to 2 heroes inside that club who ran toward the gunman, tackled him, and hit him with one of his own guns. What the gunman is accused of doing before and how was he able to get that AR-style weapon? Matt Gutman is there tonight. Also this evening, police on the scene of that deadly crash right into an Apple store in Hingham, Massachusetts, south of Boston. At least one dead, reports coming in of multiple injuries tonight, the car smashing right through the windows. With millions set to travel for Thanksgiving, they're still digging out near Buffalo tonight, the garage door and the reveal. Nearly 7 feet of snow, and now the new system we're watching. And of course, the big travel day before Thanksgiving, Ginger Z timing this out. Chilling new details tonight emerging in the murders of 4 students from the University of Idaho. News tonight on the 911 call from inside that apartment. Overseas tonight, the death toll growing after a devastating earthquake in Indonesia. More than 160 dead, children among the victims. The war in Ukraine tonight, explosions around Ukraine's Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, and the urgent warning now from the UN's top nuclear watchdog, Martha Raddatz, inside Ukraine with late reporting. Back here at home tonight and the unexpected return, the surprise announcement, Bob Iger returning as CEO of Disney, our parent company. What Iger said in his first note to Disney employees about his own sense of gratitude and amazement with his return. How Wall Street responded today, and Rebecca Jarvis is here tonight. Team USA making its return to the World Cup for the first time in 8 years, how it went. The images coming in tonight, NASA's Orion spacecraft, how close it got to the moon. The special honor for actor Michael J. Fox and the first images of Jay Leno tonight after suffering those severe burns and his journey ahead.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to start another week with all of you at home. And we begin tonight with authorities just moments ago on the deadly attack in Colorado Springs. The suspect who opened fire inside an LGBTQ club is now expected to be formally charged with murder and hate crimes charges. The gunman, 22 years old, armed with an AR-style rifle, killing 5 people and injuring at least 19 others. Before 2 heroes, 2 people inside that club ran at the attacker and beat him with one of his own guns. The attack late Saturday night at Club Q in Colorado Springs that had served as a safe haven for the LGBTQ community for more than 2 decades. Police arriving within minutes, finding the gunman already taken down and then taking him into custody. Tonight, the new video emerging now, what the suspect is accused of doing before, seen in the video surrendering to police just last year. Of course, leading to the familiar question, how did this suspect legally buy his AR-style gun? Here's our chief national correspondent, Matt Gutman, in Colorado Springs tonight.
Tonight, for the first time, we're seeing video showing the suspected Colorado mass shooter surrendering to police during an arrest last year for allegedly making bomb threats against his own mother. Anderson Lee Aldrich, seen with his hands up, taken into custody and charged with menacing and kidnapping. In live stream video, now deleted, you can see the suspect wearing body armor before that arrest and hear him making threats.
If they breach, I'm gonna f***ing blow it to holy hell. So, go ahead and come on in, boys. Let's f***ing see it!
But sources telling ABC News his case was dismissed because his family reportedly refused to cooperate with law enforcement. Nearly 18 months after that arrest, this weekend, the horrific attack at Club Q, an LGBTQ nightclub in Colorado Springs. 5 people killed, at least 19 wounded. Tonight, authorities expected to formally charge the suspect with 5 counts of first-degree murder and 5 hate crime charges.
The devastation this violent act has had on our community cannot be measured.
At around 11:56 p.m. Saturday night, Michael Anderson, one of the first to spot the gunman.
I heard like a pop, pop, pop. Once I looked up and I saw the shadow of a grown man wielding a rifle.
The first 911 calls came in at around 11:57. What followed was 5 minutes of terror.
We do have multiple criticals.
The gunman sprang the bar area with bullets.
Something in my head said, get down, you know, just get down right now. So I did.
And even before police arrived, two patrons risking their lives, charging the shooter. ABC News confirming Richard Fierro, an Army veteran, tackling the shooter, beating him with the suspect's own gun. Fierro telling the New York Times, I don't know exactly what I did. I just went into combat mode. I just know I have to kill this guy before he kills us.
They risked their lives.
They absolutely risked their lives.
Heroes, I mean, there's no other word for that, right?
Absolutely.
Officers arriving on scene at around midnight, the alleged gunman taken into custody by 12:02 a.m. At that time, drag queen Wyatt Kent was on with a 911 dispatcher.
And you immediately told her there is a woman who is
bleeding
on top of me?
She said, is anyone hit? And I said, there's a woman on top of me. She was on my legs, and I could hear her moaning. She saved my life, and she passed away on top of me.
Kent's fiance, 28-year-old Daniel Aston, a bartender at the club, also killed.
I'm very angry. I'm angry because this man took my friends. Took the man I saw the rest of my life with.
Tonight, authorities identifying the other four people killed, including Raymond Green Vance and Ashley Paw, and 40-year-old Kelly Loving, her sister telling us she was always fighting for people, and 38-year-old Derek Rump, his mother confirming his passing, saying he was a kind and loving person with a heart of gold.
And Matt Gutman joins us from the scene tonight. And Matt, we saw in your report there what this suspect is accused of doing before, that video of him being taken into custody about a year ago, the alleged bomb threat against the suspect's mother. You also reported the case was dismissed, and because it was dismissed, the suspect was then able to purchase that AR-style rifle legally?
David, that's basically because of Colorado's privacy laws. When that case became dismissed, it essentially sealed the suspect's record, and that enabled him, according to law enforcement officials, to legally purchase that AR-style rifle and the ammunition. Now, the suspect was due in court today, but the DA telling me he did not show up for his first appearance because of significant injuries. He had to stay in the hospital. David.
Well, we can see that growing memorial behind you, and later tonight hear how you can help that community. Matt Gutman, in the meantime, thank you. In the meantime, this Monday night, the deadly crash right into an Apple store in Hingham, Massachusetts, south of Boston tonight, right through the windows. At least one dead, and there are reports coming in, multiple people inside that store injured. Here's Stephanie Ramos.
Tonight, this Massachusetts community shaken after an SUV crashed into this Apple store in Hingham, a suburb south of Boston, killing one and leaving at least 16 hospitalized.
Apple store for a motor vehicle accident, motor vehicle into the building.
911 calls coming in around 10:45 this morning, shortly after the store opened. Authorities say this dark-colored SUV plowing through the store's plate glass window at an undetermined speed.
We got people trapped by the car in the store.
First responders finding people with numerous injuries inside the store, multiple others receiving care on the ground outside.
The Apple store is a very busy place. And it's Monday of a holiday week. The absolute unthinkable event that occurred at that store when you're just going there to buy a phone or get something fixed.
David, authorities say this is an ongoing criminal investigation and that driver was taken into police custody. David.
All right, Stephanie Ramos tonight. Steph, thank you. We turn now this holiday week to the travel, and with millions set to travel for Thanksgiving, they're still digging out near Buffalo. Nearly 7 feet of snow, and now the new system we're watching tonight. And of course, the big travel day right before Thanksgiving. So Ginger Z is standing by to time this out. But first, Matt Rivers in Orchard Park near Buffalo again tonight.
Tonight, after nearly 7 feet of record-breaking snow in spots, homes, cars, streets, all covered. Authorities begging residents to stay off the road so they can clear them. They're using front loaders and dump trucks, families using shovels.
This is my first attempt, and I'm not going to be able to get my car out. It's too heavy.
After 81 inches of snow in Hamburg, New York, one family opening their garage door to this monster snowdrift. This is wet, heavy snow, and this is what it can do. This historic bowling alley caving in, its walls collapsing under the weight. Snowfall rates up to 6 inches per hour stranded dozens of drivers that dared go out in it. Many of those vehicles tagged and taken to this parking lot at the local mall.
Okay, that's the classic.
With some even needing a jump start to get going again. And as the plows work around the clock to get the roads clear, the record-breaking amounts of snow fueling real worries tonight that more buildings, even homes, could also cave in.
And David, crews continue to clear snow off the streets here in Erie County, much of it ending up here where bulldozers have been pushing it into this 30-foot tall mountain of snow behind me. Travel bans in this part of Western New York have now been lifted, but authorities are still urging people stay at home unless you absolutely have to go out. David?
Yeah, the plow climbing the mountain of snow there behind you. Matt Rivers, thank you. You were there through this whole thing. Thanks so much. We want to get to Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z with what the Thanksgiving week looks like. I know you're watching another system right now. Hey, Ginger.
We are. And hey, David, you know, 5 to 6 feet of snow at a 50-mile-per-hour wind gust, that's what you've been dealing with in western and upstate New York. But it is not just cold there. In fact, by tomorrow morning, it's downright warm compared to parts of the Rockies like Jackson or Burns, Oregon. Salt Lake City feeling like 19. But the wind chill even from Las Vegas over to Montgomery going to be in the upper 30s, low 40s at best. So almost everyone dealing with the winter chill, but this storm will bring some thunderstorms on Thanksgiving itself through New Orleans and then rain for Black Friday from Atlanta to Raleigh. If you're traveling then, something to watch. Nothing that's going to be a showstopper, but certainly could impact travel. And then the warm-up. This is really nice for a lot of people, but it really concerns me, especially in a place where you've got 4 to 6 feet of snow. It's going to be foggy. You're going to end up with really heavy snow becoming then rain on top of it. So we'll watch what that does, David.
Yeah, be careful with the snow melt as well. Ginger Z will be watching you all this week on GMA. Thank you. We turn now to the investigation into the gruesome murders of those four students at the University of Idaho, because there are new details tonight about the call to 911 from inside that house. ABC's Kayna Whitworth in Idaho again tonight.
Tonight, as investigators continue to seek the public's help in solving the brutal murders of four University of Idaho students, police say multiple people inside that off-campus house were on the line with dispatchers when the 911 call was made. The call coming in just before noon, hours after police say Kaylee Gonsalves, Madison Mogan, Shanna Kernodle, and her boyfriend, Ethan Chapin, were stabbed to death. Police say two roommates survived and that the 911 call came from one of their phones, but won't say who made the call.
When they woke up, that's when they noticed that they believed something was wrong. They called some friends and the friends came over.
Authorities say the roommates were worried one of the victims had just passed out.
Were they able to see the roommate? Were they behind a locked door?
I'm not exactly sure the dynamics of what occurred inside the house.
The two surviving roommates were already in the house when police say the victims arrived home around 1:45 a.m. And tonight, 20-year-old Ethan Chapin will be the first victim laid to rest.
And David, still tonight, no suspect, but the property management company tells me this is a densely populated area of town. Hundreds of people living in this one block radius. So tonight, authorities remain hopeful that somebody knows something. David.
All right, Kayna Whitworth on this case from the start. Thank you, Kayna. We're going to turn overseas tonight into a powerful and deadly earthquake striking Java, Indonesia's largest island. At least 162 people killed, children among the victims, hundreds more injured, the toll expected to rise. The epicenter was in the mountains some 60 miles from Jakarta, of course, the capital. Homes destroyed, people treated in makeshift hospitals on the street. And tonight, rescuers are still searching for survivors there. Now to the war in Ukraine, and there is new and growing concern tonight over the threat of potential nuclear disaster after several more attacks near the massive Zaporizhzhia nuclear plant. And the warning tonight from the top UN nuclear watchdog about all of this, our chief global affairs correspondent, Martha Raddatz, from inside Ukraine tonight.
More than a dozen blasts rocked the area around the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant this weekend. The fresh barrage of military strikes prompting an urgent warning from the UN nuclear watchdog that those responsible are playing with fire. The shelling part of an intensifying Russian assault, Russia pounding Ukraine's eastern regions, some 400 strikes just yesterday alone, crippling power grids and leaving millions without heat and electricity.
The destruction is evident almost anywhere you go in Ukraine. The Russians targeting not only infrastructure, but residential areas.
In the nearly 9 months of war, 40,000 civilians are estimated to have been killed. These five siblings, now orphaned, after a shell took the life of their 37-year-old single mother. 18-year-old Slava, who watched his mother die beside him, the only one left to give his siblings the care they need. Just believe in yourself, he told me, and this is how you can succeed.
And your mother taught you that?
No.
And so let's bring in Martha Raddus reporting in from the capital of Kyiv tonight. And Martha, you and I have both been to Ukraine before. President Zelensky telling me at the time that the Russians were using that nuclear plant as a weapon. And I know tonight Zelensky again urging NATO allies to help protect the site.
That's right, David. Even though there's been no radiation leak from the shelling today, President Zelensky urged NATO members to guarantee protection of Ukraine's nuclear plants from Russian sabotage to keep this from happening again. David?
All right. Martha Raddus reporting from Kyiv tonight. Martha, thank you. Back here at home this evening into the leading business headline today, the unexpected return, the surprise announcement that Bob Iger is returning as CEO of Disney, of course, our parent company. What Iger said in his first note to Disney employees about his own sense of gratitude and his amazement with his return and how Wall Street responded today. Here's our chief business correspondent, Rebecca Jarvis, tonight.
Tonight, former Disney CEO Bob Iger making a surprise comeback, returning to the top job less than a year after leaving the company. Disney's board of directors asking Iger to return. Iger, starting at ABC more than four decades ago, he began as an entry-level studio supervisor, once joking, "I was the assistant to the production assistant." He would work his way up to CEO and spend 15 years in that role. Time magazine naming him Business Person of the Year in 2019. Tonight, Iger taking over with a mandate from the board of directors to lead the company through this pivotal period. During his tenure as CEO, Iger oversaw tremendous growth, leading the charge on major acquisitions, including Pixar,
to infinity and beyond,
Marvel,
Avengers,
assemble,
and Lucasfilm.
May the Force be with you.
Striking a deal to purchase assets from 21st Century Fox.
Outstanding.
And launching streaming platform Disney Plus. Tonight, Iger saying in a statement, "I am extremely optimistic for the future of this great company and thrilled to be asked by the board to return as its CEO." And in an email to employees overnight saying, "It is with an incredible sense of gratitude and humility, and I must admit a bit of amazement, that I write to you this evening with the news that I am returning to the Walt Disney Company as chief executive officer," adding, "I am excited to embark with you on many new endeavors."
David, Bob Iger takes over from Bob Chapek just weeks ago. Disney missed Wall Street expectations. Today, the stock rallied more than 6% on the news. David?
Welcome back, Bob Iger. Rebecca Jarvis tonight. Rebecca, thank you. We do have news of another return tonight. Team USA at the World Cup tournament in Qatar. Its first match in 8 years. Tim Weah putting Team USA on the board with a goal in the 36th minute, but Wales tied it on a penalty kick in the 82nd minute. Team USA faces England next on Friday. And amid strict limits on the expression of political opinion, the other headline from the World Cup, the Iranian team gathered for the national anthem but chose not to sing as massive protests raged back at home in Iran after the death of that young woman taken into custody by the morality police after not wearing her headscarf in an appropriate way. When we come back on this busy Monday night here in New York City, there's news tonight about two suspects accused of making anti-Semitic threats. And the first images of Jay Leno tonight, now out of the hospital, after suffering those severe burns in a gasoline accident in his garage.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here in New York City tonight, two men remain behind bars after their arrest on suspicion of making anti-Semitic threats online. 21-year-old Christopher Brown was arrested for an alleged threat of an armed attack on a synagogue. The Manhattan DA tonight alleging that he and 22-year-old Matthew Mayer were found with a firearm, a ghost gun, a high-capacity magazine, a swastika arm patch, and a bulletproof vest. Mayor Eric Adams tonight saying this was not an idle threat. We turn next tonight to comedian Jay Leno out of the hospital now. Leno released today more than a week after suffering severe burns during a gasoline fire at his garage. A picture showing him there with the staff members at the Grossman Burn Center revealing scars on his face from the burns. He also suffered burns to his hands and his chest. He underwent several procedures, including skin grafts. Leno thanking the staff for the care he received. It is great to see him back on his feet. We continue to wish Jay Leno well tonight. To the index of other news tonight, in the Academy paying tribute to actor Michael J. Fox. He received an honorary Oscar at the Academy's Governor's Awards this weekend. The Academy recognizing him for his work on Parkinson's disease after being diagnosed more than 30 years ago now. He started the Michael J. Fox Foundation, raising more than $1 billion to help fight it. And tonight, NASA with a new close-up view of the moon. Look at this, the new images coming in. The uncrewed Orion spacecraft getting pretty close as it orbited the far side of the moon, passing about 80 miles above the surface. The Earth visible in the background there. This is the first NASA capsule to visit the moon in 50 years. NASA hopes to put astronauts back on the moon in just 3 years. Tonight, a final note before we go. The community coming together in Colorado Springs. Beams of light could be seen through the windows of the All Souls Unitarian Church, that room filled for a vigil. The growing memorial outside that LGBTQ club. Many across the country asking how they can help. The club referring everyone to the Colorado Healing Fund to help families of the victims and survivors. That's ColoradoHealingFund.org. I'll see you tomorrow night.